Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I am Glenn the Geek from beautiful, sunny Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Chrissy Joy from Lexington, Kentucky. And you are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for February 21st, 2011, episode 81, sponsored by Omega Alpha. Good morning, horse world.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Chrissy Joy.
Good morning.
Hey, it's fun to have you on today. Jamie is off today. She hasn't quit or anything. As far as I know, she's not sick of working with me, although she might be. You never know with Jamie. It depends on the day. But she is off skiing with her husband. And I got a report, Chrissy, that on Facebook yesterday, she posted that she was a bit sore, she's out of shape, and she's regretting it right now. So I imagine there was a lot of downhilling going on.
Oh, that could be bunny slopes the whole way, right?
That's true.
I can't even get on skis, so I give her props just for being out there.
Well, welcome to the show. This Chrissy Joy fills in for us occasionally. She's a friend of ours, an actress and a supermodel, and a horse person here in Lexington, Kentucky. And she fills in on some of the shows for us occasionally. But this first time on Horses in the Morning, right?
Yeah, it's the first time ever. I listened, and I've actually got to be co-host today. So thanks, Jamie.
And we appreciate you being here. Chrissy has been a horse girl pretty much her whole life.
Oh, yeah.
But you were doing the collegiate thing for a while, right?
Yes, I went to college for equine studies and rode on the dressage and the hunt seat team. Loved every second of it, those early, early mornings on a horse show. Everybody knows those days.
But of course, Chrissy is not the only pretty girl that's on the show today. Jennifer's here, too. Yay. And we had an exciting weekend that we're going to tell you about after Jennifer tells us what's going on.
Learning from your mistakes, are you, Glenn?
Yes, I am. See, I do have the ability to learn even at my advanced age.
Getting in trouble.
Clicker, clicker, clicker. On today's show, we have some great stories from folks' weekend adventures, as we've already started down that road. As well as some great guests, we are starting off with a little chat about operant conditioning with our very favorite on-target training expert, Shauna Koresh. And then we're going to hear from Jackie Robbins of Equine Publishing about the Season of Excellence essay contest and the really amazing prize that you could win by entering. And, of course, we're looking forward to your Facebook comments and calls throughout the show. We want to hear from you.
Well, thank you, Jennifer. We're going to tell you about our weekend adventures. Chrissy had some this weekend, and Jennifer and I had some. We want to tell you all about moving into a new barn and what kind of fun that is. Needless to say, Jamie is not the only one sore this morning. Jennifer and I are a lot sore as well. Getting out of bed was tough this morning. I've determined I am a fat, out-of-shape geek. That's what I've determined. So let's do the first Daily Whinny today. And that goes out to Robert Dunn, who posted on his Facebook page. Robert's a listener of ours from up there in the Great White North, and I know he listens on Mondays. He said, "Be careful out there today, people. All the lovely thawing and freezing over the last few days has created some lovely ice rinks on the sidewalks and streets, which are now covered with snow. I fell three times on the way to work today." Robert, we have something for you. It's called a Yak Trax. It's something that Jennifer has used for years working in the Great White North on ice, and we actually reviewed it on the Tack and Habit Show, episode 35. If you go to tackandhabit.com and check out episode number 35, it was called Irish Yaks. And it was all about these Yak Trax. And they're the things, have you ever heard of them, Chrissy?
No, I've never heard of this.
And you need it too, because I'm going to have you, I'm going to embarrass you on the air, because you fell and almost got yourself killed here in Lexington
this
winter.
Oh my gosh, that's right.
See, I remember that.
I was in heels though. Is that also how
I don't think Robert was in heels.
Oh.
But maybe not. I don't know, Robert, were you in heels? But Yak Trax actually are these spiky things that hook to the bottom of your boot. And it stops you from falling on ice. So you can wear those on your way to work. Just take them off before you go in, because you probably kill the hardwood floors there at the theater. But, yeah, you had an experience too, didn't you?
I did, but actually I've used Yak Trax.
Have you?
We used them on a film set, and we ran across an ice skating rink, and they attach to the bottom of your shoe,
and you can
run on ice.
Yeah,
and it's like you're running on pavement.
That's right.
So, in that respect, yeah.
So you're not getting out of telling your embarrassing moment. You know that.
Okay. I'm in my heels downtown Lexington, which is definitely city streets, and I slipped on the ice into the street with oncoming traffic. Yes, it was very exciting, but I scrambled to my feet fast enough and got to my car.
So you didn't have Trax marks over your legs?
No, I did not.
No tire tracks over your legs.
That's how I thin out, you know. Just get run over a few times.
Well, Jamie will be back. As we said, she'll be back on Wednesday. Tomorrow filling in for her will be Helena B. will be filling in with me tomorrow. So you want to tune in the rest of the week. Jennifer has a ton of cool guests booked for us. And starting today, we have some fun guests that we're looking forward to talking to. But we helped somebody. What we wanted to talk about this morning and share with you was Jen and I's adventure helping a friend of ours move into a new barn. Now, she was at an old barn that had 20 horses there, and had only been there for probably a year, found a new better place, but the new better place had been empty for probably about 5 years. It is just amazing how much a barn can deteriorate. It's amazing how much a barn can deteriorate in a period of 5 years with nothing in it. That almost goes against logic. You would think that if a building is empty, it wouldn't deteriorate at all. But it's just the opposite. It deteriorates so much when a building's empty. It's amazing.
Right. No one, and especially no one's maintaining it.
So we were there. We had to clean up the new barn on Saturday and clean out all the stuff that was in the old stalls, get the cobwebs. We had to put mothballs down for all the skunks and things that had lived in there forever. And, you know, just basically get it ready. Jennifer had the unseemly job of having to clean out the bathroom that was there that had not been touched in at least 5 years. Right, Jennifer?
Oh, that was a little scary. Mother Nature had moved into the bathroom because even though the buildings were unoccupied, they had kept the heat on because there's a water heater in there and pipes and stuff. So they had kept the heat on. Well, all the furry little animals in God's little kingdom knew there was heat in there, and they all moved in. So let me tell you,
our friend said that
was an adventure.
Our friend, who's known Jennifer forever, for almost 20 years, said that was the first time she's ever seen Jennifer squeamish to the point where she thought she was going to throw up. That was the first time.
What? Jennifer, I did not know that about you.
She's tough cookie. She's tough cookie. She doesn't usually get
squeamish. I'm pretty tough, but that was a certain sections of there, and it was just a case of, you know, mice and rats and raccoons and, you know, all those smart little critters. They know how to live, and if they find a spot that's toasty warm, they're going to do everything and anything to move in, and they did. So there were, you know, all kind of little holes in the walls and dug through and stuff, and they don't clean up after themselves at the end of the season.
Did you know that mothballs are a good skunk repellent?
No.
Yes. Apparently, we had a skunk living under the porch of our house one time. We couldn't get rid of the darn thing. It was under the porch of our house, you know? It was, like, right there. So it was stinking us up every day. So we finally learned from an old wives' tale that the mothballs, put a whole box of mothballs underneath the porch of the house, and the skunk was gone in a day.
You just left?
Yeah. Apparently, skunks can actually smell mothballs, which is the first amazing thing, and then they don't like the smell of mothballs, so they left. And apparently snakes don't either, and a lot of mice and rats don't either. So
okay, I know exactly what I'm buying this year.
Yeah,
that's awesome. It's now, like garlic for the vampires.
That's
I
right.
I to have a necklace of mothballs.
Garlic of the rodent world.
You know what? I think it keeps icky admirers away, too.
Oh, my gosh. Hook me up.
It'll keep the guys away, too.
Woo!
Mothballs would keep me away. That
hook
would work
me
for
up.
Me.
I'm going to smuggle mothballs everywhere I go.
I actually on Saturday ended up doing fence for hours because a lot of the fencing was down at three-board wooden fencing. So we had to work on that all day. Walked about a lot further than I usually walk when sitting on my ball all day. And then Sunday we moved 20 horses to the new barn. Some of these horses had not been touched all winter. Many of them were not experts at loading and Edmund. They're just average boarding horses who just don't get moved around much. So I was thrilled that we actually got through that day with nobody and no horses getting hurt. So that was kind of exciting. Then, of course, you have to clean out all the old stalls and, you know, strip them out and do all that. And then I had to move 60 cinder blocks and like 100 rails.
Well, you had a little help from Michael Brooks.
And a little help from little Michael Brooks, who's like, what, 12?
Something
and
like that.
You know what? He was keeping up. He was keeping up with me. I was impressed, that little guy.
He was keeping up with a chunky old geeky dude.
That's true.
I don't know, guys. Sure. Did you buy your tickets yet? Because Glenn's got a gun show going on.
And I do want to give a shout out to Ariel too. It's one of the boarders over there. She had the most scary situation going, and she's what 5'3". She gets into the trailer. An adventure though, a tough little adventure. She gets into the trailer, and the horse we thought was going to have problems. You never think you're going to have serious problems coming out of the trailer. Well, the horse in the front that she was up standing beside decided to freak out in the front of the trailer while I was taking the bigger horse out. And, it was a scary moment, but she just stood right up to that horse and told him to knock it off. And he did. And she almost got herself squished. But that was a close one for the weekend. That was interesting. But Jennifer has a story.
Yeah, everybody
to tell
was
too.
Really stellar, though.
Yeah, everybody did a great job. It was a good move. Now, you have to tell the story of taking our friend who never in all the barns that she's owned has had automatic waterers.
Yeah, that they're a blessing in disguise, and they're a double-edged sword, let's say it that way, automatic waterers. But because the place had been vacant, I had to go out and make sure they were all working properly and clean them and all that kind of thing. And we will preface this story with the fact that this person has never worked with them before, A, and B, is really not that fond of nature. She's not a camper. So I went along with her so that I could show her the inner workings of this particular brand of waterers because I'd used them before. And it's a little creepy because you open them up and there's electricity and water in there at the same time. Not usually a good mix. But they're designed for that. So I showed her which parts were which, and I did the first one. And then I said, okay, here's the bucket. I'm going to come along so that if we come across any surprises, I can help you figure out what it is. So she hits the next one. You screw the lid off. It's an old Nelson water, so you take the lid off. And as soon as she would touch the lid, which is a big aluminum ring, the spiders would come out. And there were a couple dozen spiders in every single one. And it was really warm out, so they were active. And you'd get the little ratchety thing to start to turn it, and they'd come pouring out like water. It was amazing. And she grabbed the scrub brush we were using. This was the greatest part. She grabbed the scrub brush because that's what we had with us. And she'd start beating the water, trying to kill the spiders. And they have flying around, and the teeny-weeny, little tiny spiders, the little guys, beating on the waters. I'm going, they're bristles, honey. They're not going to kill the spiders. I'm going to get them. And she looked like she was playing whack-a-mole. She's kind of dancing so they don't get on her feet and stuff. It was awesome. And we had, I think, 9 waterers to do like this. And we had, once you get the screw top off, well, then you have to take the bowl out of the inside. So that causes more spiders to come flying out.
Oh, my gosh. I would have been gone.
And then you take the lid out, and the water's pouring in. She's kind of freaking out because she's pretty sure she's going to get electrocuted. It was awesome.
And she's funny because she does freak out at stuff like that. If she sees a snake, she's never going to go back to that barn again.
No.
And, we used to have snakes all the time at the barn. We used to have underneath our one barn, the first farm Jennifer and I had, we had rattle.
Rattlesnake. It was moccasin.
No. Underneath the first barn, they were came off the mountain. They were whatever poisonous one that came off the mountain there.
They were water moccasins from the stream.
Were they?
Yes.
Yeah, and they're, of course, not too healthy to have bite you. Yeah, either.
Well, that's like Tom Sawyer. No, that's bad, because I remember in the story there's a water moccasin, and, yeah, they can kill you with one bite.
Yes. So I was weed whacked. They used to come out, and they'd sun themselves. They lived underneath the concrete of the barn aisle, and they'd come out and sun themselves on top. When she'd go out in the morning, there'd be Mama and all the babies sunning themselves on the concrete. Yeah.
No, not.
I was.
You find it funny? Are you kidding me? It's so scary. I am not a snake fan. No.
It was interesting. It was definitely interesting. It was a good weekend. We're all a little stiff and sore, so I think Jamie probably is too, from a much more enjoyable activity out there, skiing. I kind of wonder how much skiing she's actually doing and how much drinking by the fire is going on too. I think probably a little skiing and a lot of drinking by the fire is my guess. And you had Chrissy Joy had a daily Winnie she wanted to send out too.
Yes, I have a daily Winnie.
Got a daily Winnie going to my uncle. He is currently in the hospital. He has ARDS, which is a lung disease. But today is his birthday, so I am wishing him an extremely happy birthday and get well soon, and we love you very much.
And Chrissy had an interesting weekend, too, didn't you?
I did.
We should say she lives in an apartment complex.
Right.
We'll start with that on the first floor.
Okay. So, everybody, I, as you know, do a lot of acting. So I'm an actress, and you know we don't live the most luscious, comfortable lives as we're starting out. So I have, you know, a lovely mattress on the floor and lots of, like, simple things. Well, anyway, I'm in a studio. 4 a.m. I wake up Sunday morning. And I hear drip, drip, and then it starts gushing as if you turned the shower on. Turns out my ceiling caved in and I've got a water main break in my bathroom. Everything got ruined. I literally couldn't walk in there. It was like a waterfall. So I am currently out of there as they're fixing it, and I lost a lot of my belongings, which is a big bummer, big blow to someone who doesn't exactly live
a young
high
starving
style.
Actress, yeah.
Literally starving actress here. So it's kind of, oh, what a bummer. But I've got some great friends such as Glenn helping with a helping hand to get me out from under this rubble. But yeah, that was my adventure. Water pouring.
Yeah, we get a call at 5 a.m. Sunday morning. And when somebody calls at 5 a.m. Sunday morning, you know something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So I was glad to hear it was just your water rushing out of your ceiling. By the way, it was a water heater that broke upstairs, and when water heaters break and they let all the water out, all the rust and grime that's at the bottom of the water heater comes with it, so I imagine the water was a little dirty.
It was yellow.
Yeah, that's what
happened.
It was
yellow, and it was going all over my makeup brushes, and I'm no diva, but I leave a lot of stuff open in my bathroom because we're very busy running around in life in general. Everybody knows that. Everything got ruined. I even had to forfeit some bed sheets just to soak up the water that was coming down my hallway. I was like, no, it's going to get to my bed. It's going to ruin everything. It's not a very big studio. So,
man, everybody has stories. If you've lived in apartment complexes, just everybody has those stories.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know how it is. And fortunately, you want to have friends around that can save you. But this is the first time, actually, in Horses in the Morning, I think, since we've started Horses in the Morning, that I'm actually sitting beside my co-host for a change.
Yay!
She's right here in the studio with us. I can actually see her, which is a unique thing. Doesn't usually happen. Jennifer and Jamie and I are usually in three different locations doing the show. Well, we have our first guest on here today, and she's an old friend of the Horse Radio Network. Many of you know her from the Dressage Jumping. And what's that other show? Oh, Eventing Radio Show. And that's Chris Stafford, host of all three. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Did I do your introduction okay? Was that all right?
Yes. I guess it depends on many listeners out there who prefer the Eventing Radio Show.
All right, let me do it again. And now we have Chris Stafford on. She is the host of the Eventing, the Jumping, and, oh, what's that other one? Oh, the Dressage Radio Show. That's right. Good morning, Chris.
And coming soon,
the Equestrian Legends show, which we'll talk about a little bit today. So let's chat about what's coming up here. You have some exciting news of things coming up.
Well, we do. The neat thing, of course, about Horse Radio Network is that we never stop growing and moving forward in terms of technology capability here. we were the first in the market, and we're still the leaders, and now we have this capacity to do live broadcasts on location. So I'm heading south to Tallahassee, Florida, for the Red Hills Horse Trials at the beginning of March, in about 2-3 weeks' time. That is down there in Tallahassee, beautiful location, and we're going to be broadcasting live at the end of each day, roundup shows for about an hour from 5 till 6, from the 11th through the 13th of March, that is. And then later on in April, we're going to be coming back to the Kentucky Horse Park for the Rolex Kentucky three-day event and doing the same thing there at the end of each day. I think 4 till 5:30 will be live. And, of course, you're going to be joining me over there, too, and warm people up in the morning with the horses in the morning broadcast, too.
Yeah, you're going to be the serious show at Rolex three-day event. We're going to be the silly show.
You're going to be the warm-up act.
That's right. Jamie's coming in, and we're going to be broadcasting live every morning, even through the weekend, at Rolex. We're going to be out there for four mornings, I think Thursday through Sunday. And we're going to be bringing the color and the fun and the excitement of the Rolex event to you every morning, so you'll be able to listen into that. And then Chris will be wrapping up the show, actually talking about the event in the evening and who's winning and all that stuff. And so it should be a good – we're going to basically sandwich the day. It should be fun.
I think it'll be a lot of fun. And, of course, this has potential. Of course, we've offered this capability to other select events and shows around the country now that we're out of the gate with these live broadcasts. And the ability, of course, as you know here on the Horses in the Morning, to take call-ins, which will make add a whole new dimension to all the shows that we do.
So your live coverage of the Red Hills event, which is really the first big event in the United States that everybody looks towards for the eventers, when is that again?
That is March 11th through 13th.
Okay. So and you'll be live every day at what time?
5 till 6 each evening.
5 till 6 Eastern time.
So we'll be bringing you, yes, Eastern time, and we'll be bringing you rider interviews and guests throughout those three shows. And the other thing I want to mention, Glenn, while I can, because we're starting to promote this, is our first live call-in show on the Eventing Radio show, that is, with Boyd Martin. We're going to be doing that in a couple of weeks' time. Actually, next week, I think it is. I'm a month ahead of myself.
Yeah, I was going to say, boy, I have the wrong date then, Chris.
Yeah,
I was about to change my calendar.
March 21st, so a month from today at 7 p.m. Eastern for an hour, Boyd Martin's going to join us for a live call-in show, and we'll be obviously giving you
the listeners
of
our show, Chris, Boyd was the winner of the Hottest in Breeches Award during the Hottest Horseman's show. So everybody listened to that show will remember Boyd being totally embarrassed when we talked to him. And you'll have your chance to embarrass him yourself by calling him. So
that's right.
Well, we're going to have at least one morning show caller call him and mention the breeches thing. You know that, don't you?
Well, I would hope, but, you know, at least one of your audience members, because I know there's a lot of cross-pollination between our shows, Glenn, and, you know, people from each of the shows listen to other shows. So hopefully some of your audience will call in then on the 21st of March, 7 p.m. Eastern, and talk to Boyd. And we will, of course, be posting the number to call closer to the time, and just follow Eventing Radio on their Facebook page, and you can keep up with us there, too.
You know Boyd's not going to let you get a word in edgewise. If he gets callers, you're just going to sit back, laugh, and enjoy. You won't have any work to do.
That is fine with me. That's the great thing about, you know, the co-hosts that I, as you know, Glenn, I have a variety of great co-hosts on all my shows, and Bobby Costello, Boyd Martin, Kerry Milligan, and Max Corcoran, of course, share the airwaves with me on the Eventing Radio show. And then, of course, Heather Blitz and Debbie McDonald, Catherine Haddad, to name just a few. Mary Lightson, of course, has been a guest here on Horses in the Morning and Horse Tip Daily. Great, great co-host. And then the Jumping Radio show, Brianne Goutel is a regular with me now. So, you know, we do have a diverse range of co-hosts that take all kinds of comments, questions, and suggestions from our audiences. We always love to hear from you.
All right. And then the other one that's coming up is something new that we're doing and should be getting off the ground here shortly. And tell everybody about that.
Well, that's going to be
a
brand new show here at the Horse Radio Network to add to our stable. It will be the ninth show, and that will be called Eventing on the Brain, Equestrian Legends, and that's going to be talking to, you know, living legends in the world of equestrian sport and 360 degrees of it, Glenn. We're going to not just go for the famous ones, the ones in the popular disciplines or the Olympic disciplines, but we're going 360 degrees of the whole horse world, talking to some of the great horsemen and women of our time. And these are very fun, in-depth interviews, Glenn. These are very different to what you find anywhere else. They're more sort of philosophical, more about life values and their journey. And, you know, to share with the listeners more information beyond what they achieved with horses, because that, of course, is well known to most people if they follow horse sports and they're familiar with the name. So these are a little bit more in-depth and have, of course, terrific evergreen value. They're a wonderful addition to our stable of shows, and I'm very excited about those. We'll be launching that shortly. We do have a few interviews in the can, as we say, because we started this idea through Inspirational People series that I had on three shows, and these were people from eventing, dressage, and jumping. So that, in fact, is morphing into this new show of Equestrian Legends, but we're going to go much wider around the world and around the horse world.
I like that, too, because with most of these individuals that you're interviewing, this will be the only audio record. They've done a lot of interviews for print and for newspapers and for magazines, but very few of them have ever done any audio interviews. So there'll actually be a record of their voices, and they're, you know, it is different when you hear their voices and their inflections and how they really feel about this this life they've led. So it's going to be kind of neat to have that for a historical record as well.
Well, I think that's very true, too. You know, and a lot of people have said to me already, you know, this is the first time I've ever heard of these, right? Heard their voice. And that's what we're bringing to you, is very, you know, very in-depth and exclusive interviews through Equestrian Legends. And that will be a bi-weekly show. We'll be starting that pretty soon. I think you're working on the website now, aren't you, Glenn?
Yes, website's being worked on, and it should be ready to go here in the next couple of weeks, and we'll certainly make an announcement when that goes live.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this thing, Chris, because just like all the other podcasts, they're there forever. You know, you're getting it straight from the horse's mouth, no pun intended, and it's so different than an interview you see in print. An interview you see in print, somebody reads a question, and you think it through, and you write the answer, and then you edit the answer so you have nice complete sentences, and you really don't get the same flavor at all, because I've listened to the ones you've got in the can already, and it really is a completely different experience. It's like the difference between going to a clinic as an observer and watching it and watching that same person compete. If it was, for example, a dressage person, watch that rider compete in a dressage test, and then going and watching that same rider do a clinic and be mounted. It's just two such separate experiences. And then they're in a podcast, so you go, wow, that was really cool. Well, you go back and listen to it again and again and again. It's just a really cool concept. I'm very excited to get it started.
Yeah, and the nice thing, the response we've had from the series when it was part Inspirational People series as part of eventing, jumping, and dressage shows, the responses that we've had, as you know, Glenn, have been fantastic. I mean, people are saying that, you know, these guests have opened up in a way that they've never done in the past. And we're talking to some people are, you know, well in the 70s, octogenarians, people that have been real legends, I mean, in every sense of the word, legends. And for the younger generation, would not be so familiar and will be forgotten if we don't memorialize them in this way. And I think this is a unique opportunity for the Horse Radio Network.
All right, terrific. So lots of fun stuff coming up. And I wanted to add to the live shows that we're going to be doing out and about. Second week of May, we've been invited to go with the morning show to Graceland and record the morning show from Elvis's old stomping ground. And
Elvis.
Yes, and he still has horses on the property, or actually his people still have horses on the property. As far as I know, he's still not there, although there might have been an Elvis sighting there. I don't know. Do you think there's been an Elvis sighting at Graceland, or is that just everywhere else in the world?
I don't know. Elvis, you know, he exists everywhere in the world. He's kind of a legend himself.
So, I talked to Chris. I did talk to Templeton Thompson. He's going to be coming over and meeting us there to help do the show that morning. So she was very excited about that. Apparently her husband lived near Elvis's house when he was growing up and had some stories to tell about that, seeing Elvis riding his horses. So that should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I can imagine Sam would have a few stories to tell. You know, he goes way back down there in the world of Nashville music. And great that Thompson and Sam will be joining you over there. That will really make your show a highlight, as if it isn't already, the opportunity to go to Graceland, which, of course, makes me think of that song by Paul Simon. Do you know that song?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, the Graceland song.
I'm going to
Graceland,
Memphis, Tennessee. There you go.
All right,
guys. Well, you...
Thank you, Chris.
You have fun. You bet.
We appreciate it. And, of course, you can find all of our shows, eventingradio.com, jumpingradio.com, or dressageradio.com, or you can find all of our shows at horseradionetwork.com. Thanks a lot. Have a good week, and have
fun
on your shows.
Thank you, guys.
All right. That was Chris Stafford. Thank you for her for joining us this week. We appreciate it. She's got some exciting things coming up. It's kind of neat that she's going to get do shows live now. That's
I know.
Fun.
And she's got a lot of good information. Like, she's doing so much work. I can't believe she's getting it all done. And I feel like I've got a lot going on my plate. She's quite the lady.
Well, this half hour is sponsored by our friends at Omega Alpha. And we're going to take a break here. We're going to be back with Shauna Koresh to do our training training segment with her, like we always do. And it's always a lot of fun to have Shauna on. We wake her up very early in the morning out there in California to come on with us, and we do appreciate it.
Omega Alpha Pharmaceuticals creates only natural health products. Their scientists, guided by Dr. Gordon Chang, formulate a wide variety of mainly herbal health products to address many equine health problems. And one of their users is international Canadian sensation event rider Jessica Phoenix. And we have Jessica on here for a second to tell us what she thinks about Omega Alpha. Well, hi, Jess. I hear that you use Omega Alpha.
I do. I love their products. I've started using them this year, and the one product that I really love is Anti-Flam. It just takes the sting out of the horse's feet and keeps them moving comfortably, and I know that from using it in our barn, a lot of horses have benefited from it.
You can look for their products at retailers nationwide or visit their website at omegaalpha.ca. That's omegaalpha.ca.
Omega Alpha Pharmaceuticals creates only natural health products, and they bring consumers the perfect marriage of nature and science. Look for their products at retailers nationwide or visit their website at omegaalpha.ca.
Chrissy, Susan posted on our Facebook page this morning, mothballs are deadly poison to wildlife, dogs, cats, and the children. Do not put them out, even though they may repel some pests. And that reminds me to say that where we were putting them was in the holes in the barn that go down between the stalls and in the floors. And then you cover them up with dirt and stuff so the cats don't get at them.
Are they deadly to annoying boys, too?
I think the smell probably keeps them. If they eat enough of them, they'd probably be deadly.
Okay, all right. I might still use them then. I hear you. Thank you for the input there.
Thank you, Susan. We appreciate that. And we have our next guest on the line here who is right on time and awake, hard to believe, this morning, and that is Shauna Koresh. Shauna has been on our show several times. She is, of course, well known for her training method called target training, and it's used by many professionals and Olympic-caliber riders across the world, and she is out doing clinics and lessons and how to do this. And, you know, we have to, before we're done here, Chrissy has a very funny story to tell Shauna about clicker training that I think she's going to like. Good morning, Shauna, and welcome to the show.
Well, good morning. It is great to be here as usual.
Well, you know, it's always fun. Shauna also, I wanted to say, does tips for us over at Horse Tip Daily. We've done quite a few tips, and we always have a great time recording. Our tips take twice as long as they should because her and I just chat a lot. But I don't know. What are we talking about today, Shauna? Hey, hold on one second. Before you get into that, I got to ask you, do you have horses currently?
Yes, I do. I have two horses.
Do you? So you still compete, or you just ride for pleasure now, or what?
Well, I have my older horse who really with On Target Training, he was my big demo horse. He's in the book. He's in the video. He traveled, you know, like 60,000 miles in 2 years, just all over. And
frequent
so
flyer miles.
Yeah. No kidding. He does. He's really been all over, and his name's Mint. And so he is now back with me. And so he's 19 now, so he's older. And then I have a horse who is pretty green that's coming along. So we're going to maybe go to a show next month, but it's just, you know, he's just beginning. He's a little hunter-jumper horse. And, I mean, he's not little. He's big by standards of most people. But he is, so he's getting back to it. And he's, you know, he gives me, as you have a new horse, he gives me my new challenges, you know, as you're kind of teaching him all the things as you come along and under saddle work and you know, what he's, whatever challenges come up with him. And frankly, he was a bit of a rescue for me because I got on him, and within a minute of being on him, he spooked. I fell off. I mean, I was, and then I went over to the fence to get him, you know, and he's standing there, and he's just quivering, you know, because he thinks the ramifications of him spooking. And at that minute, I was like, I got the tools for you. I can get you over this. I want him.
Well, and Shauna, I know you're not that scary looking. I really know that.
Yeah,
matter of fact,
so,
in the show notes today, because Chrissy Joy's here with us today, so we have a fill-in today, and not like you usually talk to Janie, I put a picture of you in the tank with the whales at so she would see that at SeaWorld what you did.
Oh, I know, it's awesome.
So,
it was really an awesome, you know, it's just been an awesome path, you know, all the way through. The marine mammals and that, doing that was just, it was incredible. But then the transition to horses and just how differently we train them, you know, and just they come from so many different backgrounds. It's really been a, you know, it's been a blessing for me. I just love it. So
there are not too many horse people that can say they've ridden horses, they have ridden whales, and they've ridden dolphins. There's not too many people that can say that.
I am such a water girl, and just seeing that is such an inspiration. I want to do it so bad. I really do. And you know how you can see a wild horse and see a domesticated horse and immediately know the difference? Is that the same for you when you have a trained whale versus seeing a whale out in the wild? Like, do you feel like you could communicate with both?
Yeah, you know, well, in a way, yes. I think that there is to get, like, right up to a horse, you know, you can get right up to it and you can see it and you can, you know, they're looking and they're wary and they're very attentive to you. And it's a little harder with the interactions with the whales and dolphins, like when you first get them, to get them to kind of stop and look up and focus and pay attention. So it is a little bit different, but you can see and read so much about them, you know. I got to go out in Alaska. I was up there doing a clinic, and the people who were hosted the clinic took me out, and we went out whale watching, you know, and we saw killer whales and moms and babies, and the captain of the ship is like, in all my years, I've never seen all this, you know, this is crazy. And to me, it was like, yeah, I've seen moms and babies, you know, and it was just so normal. You're like, yeah, this is what they do, and the babies, you know, you just know it, and you do feel that and sense that. So it's awesome. It's an amazing, animals are amazing. I love them.
And I'm sure the training carries over into training horses a lot in the same way.
Yes. It does 100%. It's a little different because the marine mammal training is really based solely in positive reinforcement. You know, there's a number of reasons for that. It's safer. It's, you know, more consistent. You're getting their attention. You're creating their own desire and will to want to be there and interest in you. And the horses, you know, traditionally it's just been a different path. So the training can be exactly the same. But
I can think of another difference, Shauna. I can think of one more difference, and that's the wetsuit. You really don't have to wear a wetsuit when working with horses.
You don't.
I used
to be wet.
And with the way I look, Shauna, that's a darn good thing. I'm so happy about that. Well,
it's true.
Look who's laughing the most, my wife. Chrissy's over here trying to be good because she wants to get paid today. Jennifer's laughing.
I'll laugh on your behalf, Chrissy Joy.
Anyway, I know not, because not too many of us have whales and dolphins in the backyard, we probably should branch out the horses, and I actually let you get to what you wanted to talk about today.
Well, today we're going to talk about how we're already operant conditioning. This is how all things learn, and it's already in play with your horses, whether you know it or not. So the kind of, as trainers, the best thing we can do is become aware of these principles. These are proven principles that are in effect with everything we do with our horses, everything our horses do, or our whales or dolphins. So if you are working on your dolphin at home.
Well, you know, Shauna, when you think about it, folks who have the extra large army surplus size warm bloods, that's bordering on whale. And some folks with the really, really, really high-strung Arab thoroughbred, that's kind of getting into that dolphin or maybe seal range.
That's the otter range. You're definitely
otters. They're the Arabians of the marine mammal world.
Which horse is the hammer-nosed shark? That's what I want to know.
Hammerhead
shark. Hammerhead shark, yeah.
That's a tough one. I'm not sure.
Don't say it, Jennifer. We'll get letters.
Yeah.
Just let it go.
You're right. I'll let it go. Good idea. I'll post it on Facebook.
Yeah. So the principles that are at work and that I focus on teaching people, it's called operant conditioning, and these are proven principles. This is proven that this is, you know, scientists have gone out and studied about how things happen and how learning occurs and, you know, how they remember and cognitive studies. I mean, it goes on and on and on. And the hard part is when you go to those textbooks, I mean, because it is all proven in the textbooks. I mean, we had to study this when I was at SeaWorld to understand, you know, what we're doing and the, you know, how and why and how to be better. And the problem is you read the textbooks and it's so full of gobbledygook. You know, it says, when the organism emits the correct response upon the presentation of a discriminative stimulus, you know, and you're like, what? I just want my horse in the trailer, you know, or whatever it might be. And so what I've kind of set out to do is decipher that. Take that from that gobbledygook, because when you really break it down, it's just a certain common sense. And people go, oh, of course, that makes sense. Well, then how do I change it? You know, and so those principles are already working whether we're aware of it or not. So trying to be aware of it is what makes us the better trainers, you know, if we can use those principles, and as opposed to having to go through those tests all ourselves and figure it out by 85 repetitions, we go, you know what, he's really not getting this. If we can get those principles in our head and go, you know what, I know how to get right to the chase, you know, and get this where I want it. But so in considering this, we're getting a little behavior lesson here, but everything that our horses, our dogs, our kids, our husbands, our wives, yes, our husbands and wives, or our dolphins and whales are doing.
Okay, now I'm listening. You got my attention.
It's through something called operant conditioning. And the word operant, it really means they're learning to operate on their environment. You know, so your horse is trying to figure out, how do I get what I want? Or how do I avoid what I don't want? And unfortunately, that's going on all the time. And I tell people all the time that this is another proven principle. If any behavior increases in frequency, something in the environment is reinforcing it. I mean, that's the bottom line. So, you know, if a horse starts bucking more, or a horse is being, you know, doing something we like or don't like. And unfortunately, a lot of times the horses through traditional training tend to offer up more stuff we don't like than bringing to the plate stuff we do like, you know. But in any case, it means that they're either getting something they want or avoiding something they don't want. So it's already in place. It's already going on because they're doing stuff. You know, we constantly think, why is my horse doing that? Why is it getting worse? And I think a really good example of operant conditioning that is that goes on all the time, that I see on a constant basis, is horses pawing at the cross ties. So somebody, you know, they tie their horse up. Yeah, and so what tends to happen, and I've cured this and worked with this through people, there's one horse, he was an Olympic horse, and he's an Olympic dressage horse, and he was, when they put him in the cross ties, he would start pawing. Well, he kind of at this point was an older Olympic horse, or an older horse, you know, and so he had, you know, they didn't want him, the concussiveness of pawing in the cross ties, and just didn't really want him doing all that, and he still had another Olympic to get to. And so they went, and the groom, she would go over and reprimand him. And it was a place where there's like a little bungalow, so that's where like the tack house, you know, and then the cross ties are outside because it was out here in California. And he would, so he'd start calling him, Paulie in the cross ties. So she would, you know, go over and fuss at him. Well, it was only getting worse, not getting better. So pretty soon, instead of walking over, she's running over. And then she's running over, and then she's escalating her correction, you know. So pretty soon she's kind of hitting him and trying to, you know, smack and sting his legs a little bit so he'll stop. And it's just not getting any better. It's getting worse. And so I was called in, and I said, you know, I think what you've got going on here is he wants her attention. You know, she'd go away in the tack house, and he wanted her back out there. And he started figuring out if he paused, he gets immediate attention. And pretty soon, not just was it attention, she was running to him with attention. And I'm sure he's thinking, ow, 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 I hate that part, but you're here and I'm not alone. So the way that we corrected it was having her wait inside the tack room until he stopped and only coming out when he stopped. So that he starts learning, if I want attention and I want your company, I can get it by being standing still versus this pawing. So, I mean, and it happens all the time. You see horses standing alone, kind of unattended, and as soon as they start pawing, people come over and say, quit it, you know, but they come over, you know, and that's the, it's, you know, it's backfiring kind of on people because you think you're correcting them, but they're finding it more reinforcing to have you with them than it is to just stand there quietly. So by changing those scales, you can then reinforce them for standing quietly, and then they get that is the behavior they do to try to solicit and get you back. So that makes sense.
That's kind of a case of we as the human are misreading what the horse is. How'd you do that at the beginning? You're either reinforcing.
Yes.
The horse is either going to do, he's trying to get what
he wants
or avoid what he doesn't want. We think the horse is avoiding something he doesn't want. We think he's trying to be not in the cross ties. When in fact,
right.
What he's doing is he's perfectly fine with being in the cross ties. He's seeking what he does want, which is the attention.
Very good. Excellent.
So we had
nice.
It backwards in that case. We were assuming as a human the horse didn't want to be in the cross ties, didn't want to go riding, whatever. When
mm-hmm.
the root cause was the horse is seeking what he does want, your presence.
Right. That he doesn't want to be left alone. Yeah, you do. You get two gold stars because you not only got the concept, you put it together, you say it really great. I love that you
I get
understand.
A click.
And
yes. We don't have a clicker. We really wanted to use a clicker this morning.
Actually, when I don't have the clicker, sometimes I use my mouth. And it's
all right, let's hear it.
Hey, you're good. And you know, that's a good point too. It's not really, it doesn't, like, we didn't even use clickers at SeaWorld. We used whistles and we used our verbal bridge signal. So it really isn't all about the clicker, but the clicker is a really good tool. So I do use it, but it's about whatever sound you want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
But and another one is that I think of a lot. I mean, and it's happening all the time. Like a horse who starts bucking, a lot of times, you know, or they start being, you know, disobedient while we're in tack. A lot of times we're asking for something they don't understand, they don't know, they don't like, they, you know, and so they get a little unsettled, you know. They start crow hopping or rocking back and forth or bucking or rearing, and it unseats us. And for a moment, we drop what we were doing and we go instead of kind of, you know, working on an offensive sort of way, not offensive, but, you know, working on what we're trying to focus on, all of a sudden we're backed off, we're defensive, and we're saying, slow, whoa, what are you doing? You know, and we're trying to back them out of that place, and we stop whatever thing they were, that to them may have seemed antagonizing or unclear.
We change the subject
on. They,
yeah, instead of saying canter left, all of a sudden we're saying, put your head up and turn.
Yeah, and whoa,
okay.
whoa. Yeah, I mean, and that's a big, I'm really big. If they start carrying on and I'm at the canter, I'm like, canter. Because, well, one thing, because that's what I was doing, and I want to say, I want to get back to what we're doing, but also knowing that going forward really isn't conducive to all that ruckus. You know what I mean? The more you slow them up, the more they can start getting the up and down momentum or something. So I'm just kind of like, just canter. We're supposed to be cantering. Maybe I might take them to a circle, you know, where you're saying back to a focus. But exactly. So we change from, you know, whatever thing we were asking for, and we moved to something different, and they would kind of have stopped doing, you know, whatever it was that was to them might have been an antagonist or something
yucky,
that they wasn't
so,
clear. Yeah,
in,
yucky,
in this particular scenario, we have a case of the human. We do not live in as immediate world as the horse does. The horse, you say canter left, and let's say in this particular example, the horse has a elementary grasp of what canter left is, but it's still, he doesn't particularly care for it, and he'd really rather have an answer he likes better. So you say canter left, and his answer is crow hop left. And your response to crow hop left is get up off of his back, put your hands in his mane so you're not pulling on his mouth to cause a rear, and send him forward. He goes, oh, that's awfully comfortable. So he thinks he's gotten the right answer.
Yes, and he is, and he's training us. And he's going, you know what? And school horses, you know, you see, like when people are trying to teach school horses to be school horses, they can, you know, it's a hit or miss because they can just turn in, they figure out pretty quick, I got this green little rider, I just buck. Pretty soon I'm out of this program, you know, or
right.
whatever, you know. It's the same thing. They come up with their own thing and they realize, you know, like there was a situation, they realize I don't have to do this. I can do so. I can train my rider. Look, he'll stop asking. You know, as soon as I do this, we're not doing it anymore. So it is, it's definitely going on. And there was a situation one time where somebody had a horse that would, it was bucking, you know, and it was bucking at the canter. So then she would say, the trainer would say, get off and we will lunge him. And then pretty soon it's bucking at the trot. And they'd say, get off, I will lunge him. And then they'd say, and then he was bucking at the walk. And then they came to a clinic, and I said, oh, blah, blah, blah. You know, we're already training our horses. And she realized, he, whatever reason, he's thinking, I would much rather be on a lunge line than I would have my rider on there. And it was a greener rider, you know. So then
so
the trainer realized.
Probably cantering started out because greener rider frequently means a little less comfort at the canter for the horse.
Mm-hmm.
So he had, you know, he had every right to go, oh, this is kind of yucky. But, again, it was a case of they may have taken the rider off and lunged him because maybe that was safer, not realizing they were reinforcing the behavior.
Exactly. So, like, in that situation, the trainer realized, I need to get on. So it's and make it even a little bit harder, you know what I mean, so that it's a little harder with the more experienced rider. It's more work. It would have been easier just to tote the greener rider around, you know, as opposed So you kind of try to set up, you know, it's kind of like at SeaWorld sometimes you would be very cautious of getting a show discrimination where they realize when you're going out to do the show, it's not quite the same as a training session because you're not, you're a little distracted because you have the show and the people and doing it all, you know, and they could, you could get that very easily. So we tended to make the training sessions a little bit harder and more rigorous and more demanding than the show. So they'd go, oh, I want to do the show. That's easy there. You know, so it's kind of the same thing. So you set it up so that the greener rider, it's easy there, you know, where you're
gotcha.
Going, oh, yeah, I just want to tote that person around. So much easier than the one who knows so much more and can really make me do it.
Well, and apparently I've heard from reading books and stuff that this whole operant conditioning thing applies well to humans. And Chrissy Joy, I want you to tell our listeners and Shauna your little operant conditioning story.
My dressage trainer is quite the man. Yes, there was a fussy baby he was working with a while back, and he would use the clicker and he, you know, to get him to stop fussing so much, and then he would feed him Cheerios. But little does everyone know that this baby was my hunt seat coach's son. So he lost his babysitting rights because we would walk into the office and he's sitting there with the high chair with this little baby And every time baby would start crying, and then he would reward the baby when he would stop crying, and then he'd give him a Cheerio. So, he was fascinated. This was his little project, and poor little Riley. But he learned he would get a Cheerio if he stopped his fussiness. So.
And his clicker, and he'd hear the clicker. Can you imagine, Shauna, later in life, this kid's going to grow up in elementary school. Every time, you know, he's going to be hungry. Every time a pen clicks, he's going to be hungry. You know, he's going to be wanting to know when. Break
Holy,
it.
He
lost babysitting rights. We told him to stick with the hooves animals. But Riley's a great kid now. I mean, goodness, Cheerios. We're definitely.
Boy, and he looks him. Every time a clicker goes off.
Yeah. Or a box of Cheerios comes out.
Yeah, it's the newest face of the Cheerios box.
And it's totally, it is the same principles are in effect in our lives. But the factors are just so much greater. It's hard to keep track of it all. But it totally, I'm sure it totally works.
I would do it for ice cream, maybe.
You know,
got a number of things I might use.
Jennifer has the clickers out at the barn. What would have been really funny in today's show is if every time it was Chrissy's turn to talk, I just hit the clicker throughout the whole show. So that would have been a funny segue into...
Do I get a dollar?
Exactly.
Thank you, Shauna. We appreciate you being on today. And as always, where can people find you?
Go to AskShauna.com. That's probably the easiest one to go to, and you can even submit questions, and I'll answer them there. But AskShauna.com, and you do Facebook and Twitter and all that. So I'm out there.
All right, great. We appreciate you being on again. As always, it's been a lot of fun, and now you can go back to bed out there in California.
And thank you for having me on. I enjoy it every single time, and Chrissy, it was nice to talk with you, too.
It was nice talking to you also. You have a great, great experience at SeaWorld. That's really cool, too.
Thank you.
All right, Shauna. See ya next month.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye.
Bye.
So that was fun.
I know. Well, today's song is brought to you by Pocket Stable. Pocket Stable is the only iPhone app that's been created for horse owners who want to keep all of their information, including, you know, vaccines, wormings, farrier, dentist visits, together and easily accessible. You can also track weight and get reminders of important events like vaccines, worming, and farrier visits. So find Pocket Stable in your app store on your iPhone or visit them at www.pocketstable.com.
And today's song is in honor of my weekend, Cleaning Stalls. There's no other song that we could do than Marianne Kennedy's Cleaning Stalls. Everybody, that was Mary Ian Kennedy, and that was a song called Clean Installs. And of course, you can buy all of Mary Ian Kennedy's music at maryannkennedy.com.
Yeah, that'll pump you up any day in the barn.
Yes, that's right.
You need certain music to get going.
Yeah, and Mary Ian Kennedy's are perfect music to get going because she has so many different horse songs, and I know we love her here on the Horses in the Morning show, brought to you by Omega Alpha. I am Glenn the Geek, and I am sitting here with Chrissy Joy, who's filling in today for Jamie, who's out skiing, trying to break bones. But I'm sure she'll come back healthy. You know, before she left, we said you can break all the bones you want, just as long as you don't break your vocal cords.
We're no, happy not allowed. Yeah. We can sit you here in a cast, but well, we need you to talk.
We have our next guest coming up here shortly, but I first wanted to say that Jennifer found the story of the day. You know how, Chrissy, you've always had barns where the little sparrows and the birds come into the barn and they get their little, you know, they get the hay and the chaff and they go make nests and everything out of everything in the barn. Well, Jennifer found a story here out of England that it's a retired policeman who actually took a picture, and we'll post it on Facebook, who actually took a picture of a crow. It looks like a crow, a blackbird, who found a different source for material to make his nest with. And the source was his horse. The horse actually would lay down in the fields, and he caught on camera one day, the blackbird would land on the back of the horse and pluck out hair.
Oh, my gosh.
And take that, and he actually searched around the farm for the nest. He found the nest, and sure enough, the nest was entirely made out of horse hair.
That's scary.
And he has a picture of the crow actually with horse hair in his mouth. Now, why the horse put up with this, I'm not quite sure.
He's going to go after people next. I'm not going to that barn. My beautiful head of hair.
That's it, gone.
It's like an Alfred Hitchcock movie right there.
One little shot at a time.
Ah.
Well, we could say that maybe he was just currying the horse.
Oh, but I'm...
So he was just currying the horse, that's all. Doing a curry job. So anyway, our next guest, who I'm sure is going to be thrilled to follow up after that, is by the name of Jackie Robbins, and she's coming on today to talk to us about something really, really cool that's happening. It's called the Season of Excellence, and there's actually one of the friends of the Horses in the Morning show is involved in this, and that's Raphael and Ivory Powell, who won our Hottest Horseman Couple of the Year last year. So we're going to get Jackie on. And we're going to find out about what's the thing that's called the Season of Excellence. Good morning, Jackie, and welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you, Glenn. Thank you, Chrissy.
Good morning.
Well, now, this is cool. You guys, I found out about it on Friday. So, you know, I'm kind of excited because I know it's been out there, and you guys have a ton of fans on Facebook. But you know, I imagine that there's a ton of us that don't know about it either. So I'm really excited to learn about it. How did the Season of Excellence idea come into be?
Well, Season of Excellence is one of 12 of our monthly contest series that we developed. We started these contests back in November. We ran a very small one called Cowgirl Christmas, and it was a way to get spread awareness of what we're doing, which is the Horse Coupon Book, and get interaction with our fans and just do something really fun that hasn't been done before. So when we saw how excited people were about our Christmas contest, my partner Trish and I developed a series of 12. So we have one major contest that runs every month, and it's all through Facebook. It's all on social media, and you know, anybody can participate. Season of Excellence is the only one out of all 12 for the year that involves horses themselves. And Season of Excellence was designed to promote the top stallions in our country and Canada in these days, and it just took off like wildfire. We had over 475 horses come in, and we had kind of a pre-voting stage where people could tell us what horses they'd like to have an opportunity to win a breeding to. And at the end here, in another week, somebody is going to be picked to win a breeding to basically the stallion of their dreams. Some of the top horses in the country are in this.
Including our friend Ivory Powell, the Palomino walking horse.
Yep, Ivory Powell is in there. Gunner, Tim McQuay's champion reigning
stallion.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, reigning stallion. Won a ton of money with that horse.
Oh, yeah, Sherry Servey, the horse that she won a lot on barrel racing, Frenchman's Heyday. Everybody knows him as De Niro. He's part of it. We have some of the top warmbloods. I mean, it's just been fantastic, the horses that have turned out for this. And now
well, they have like
the
400 to choose from, right? I mean, there's a ton of horses. And
yeah,
what was cool is you did the stage where everybody that had a mare got to submit an essay about why their mare should be picked, and now we're into the final stage, right?
Right, yes. Yes, the essays have come in. All of the essays were just posted yesterday, and today is our first official day of voting beginning for the essays. So people can
go anybody
in
vote?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Now they need to be able to interact on our page on Facebook. They have to click like up at the top. It's facebook.com/horsecoupons, and then they can go in and interact. But we haven't even had a chance to count yet, but I know there are well over 300 essays that came in. And, I mean, some of the things that people wrote about these stallions, it's been fantastic for the stallion owners, and it's really gotten, you know, a lot of people dreaming about breeding again, and it's just really been a neat program. So it's gotten a lot of excitement.
Now, I'm on your Facebook page. I went to facebook.com/horsecoupons, and I see the Season of Excellence banner on the left. Where do I actually find the essays themselves?
Under the photos tab, each stallion has their own folder, and their essays are in their folder. The other way to, there are so many there, we also set up on our website for this campaign, which is called seasonofexcellence.com. We set up a whole left column with every stallion alphabetically, you know, ordered, where people can click and view their essays there as well. This thing, we had no idea when we started just how popular it was going to become. So
that's usually how these things happen, and then you take over, and all of a sudden your life is doing this. That's usually
exactly
how it happens. So, no question about it. Well, this is great. I think it's a great idea, and you know, I'm going on to check out some of the different ones here on the page, and you know, there are so many stallions listed on here. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's overwhelming to look through. And they're all just amazing quality stallions. And
And that's why we had a pre-voting section, too, where people would be able to tell us, you know, who they want to see in here. So it's been a long process that has been beneficial for everybody that's been involved.
And I really, really like how you're tying into people and using their creative writing skills and doing the research, and they're probably learning along the way, and to give the opportunity for the public to reach in and read these essays and learn something for themselves. It's going to benefit the horse industry in general, and it's allowing people to be creative, and in the end, they get pretty much something they could only dream of being able to obtain. And to me, in that sense, it's an outstanding contest to have, and everyone's going to benefit in the end no matter what.
Exactly. And then the stallion owner that does end up giving away a breeding, we have a whole prize package put together for them as well. So nobody's really out anything to have participated in this in any aspect of it, which is really neat. So the stallion owner, they're going to get a full-page ad in the horse coupon book, and we've had donations come in from Equitainer and Harvet and Breeders' Choice. I mean, it's a whole big breeding package. So the winning stallion is going to be decked out with brand new blankets and halters and exposure too. So
can I be politically incorrect and ask you which stallion got the most entries?
Well, he's actually at the very top of the page there, and that is PC Frenchman's Heyday, De Niro Sherry Service horse. He's at Potter Ranch, and he got the most entries out of all the boys.
Wow.
But, you know, the way that this is going to work, the top five essays that get the most votes out of five different categories, we have stock horse, which encompasses all the quarter horse and paints, and then we have saddle pleasure, which is the Arabs. We have a Baroque section, a miscellaneous section, and those different sections, the five essays with the most votes are going to be judged. So this could be absolutely anybody's win. And we structured this in a way to where, you know, people a lot of times don't enter contests because they feel they don't, you know, have a chance. And this is really, it could be anybody. It could be, you know, a miniature horse that ends up one of the miniature essays winning, or a halflinger, or you know, one of these top reigning horses. I mean, it really could be anybody's win. We have no idea until it's all done.
And when you're on Facebook, we're looking at one of the entries now, and for PC Frenchman's Heyday. And when you're on there, do you actually click like on the one you want? Is that how you're voting?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. All right, good. All right, well, that seems pretty clear and pretty simple enough. And, of course, if you don't have Facebook yet, you just need to get it. That's all there is to it, because everybody else does. And we're actually going to talk a little bit. Jennifer and Chrissy Joy and I watched the Facebook movie Social Network last night.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to give our review of Social Network and what we thought of that, and how after we watched it, we really didn't want to use Facebook again. But
wait a minute. I didn't say that.
This is terrific. So let's give out the websites again. It's season of, I think that's probably the easiest way, because it's broken down a little easier. Seasonofexcellence.com. You click on the link on the homepage there, and on the left you can see vote for essays, and it has all the different horses that were on here. You can go in and read the essay. Some of these are heart-wrenching, and some of them are a chuckle. You know, there's a little bit of everything in here.
Yeah, it's definitely a variety.
Now, did you have one that stood out, an essay that, you know, I'm not saying for people to vote for it, but I mean that just, did you have some, you don't have to say which ones, but did you have some that just made you cry, and then some that, you know, you must have had such a variety.
Oh, yeah. There's one in particular that's my pick, but I'm not one of the judges, so it could be anybody that wins. But I mean, and there are so many, and we really haven't even had a chance to read all of them yet. We had so many come in, and I mean, people really did their research. They really worked very hard at this, and we've just been extremely impressed with the quality that they've been riding.
Well, I know what it's like to have something like this that you put together thinking, oh, it's going to be a fun little thing we'll do, and then it blooms and mushrooms, and then all of a sudden you got this huge project on your hand. So next year, when you do it the second time, it'll be easier.
Yeah, and I don't know about easier, but definitely bigger. Because next year we're going to make sure we have more than just one winner. We had no idea how many stallions were going to be participating, and next year it's going to probably be about 10 times the size it is right now. So it's just very popular. And now next month, see, we run these contests every month, so next month is our March into training. They all have cute little titles that go with them, you know. But so March 1st starts March into training, and there we have that's a whole new contest that anybody can enter and be part of, and we have trainers participating in that, such as John Lyons and Ryan Gingrich, Charmaine James, Clinton Anderson. Mm-hmm. We have a whole list of top trainers that are participating next
time. I was going to say, you couldn't get anybody good? What?
I know, I'm like, oh.
All right, this is seasonofexcellence.com, or go to Facebook. It's facebook.com/horsecoupons. You want to like that, because that's where you'll hear about all their contests that are coming up. And you haven't done too bad, 21,000 people like you already. So, you know, we're going to give you a round of applause here on Horses in the Morning, because anytime somebody stumbles across something that's fun and exciting, and then you put the work in to make it work, we're thrilled for you. So congratulations, Jackie.
Well, thank you, and thank you for having us.
All right. Bye-bye, Jackie. Good luck.
Bye. Thank
you. Later.
And we will keep chatting with Jackie on a regular basis and keep you notified of who actually wins.
I know, there's 400. I couldn't even imagine.
I know.
I go into a shoe store and I get a little frazzled. I couldn't imagine 400 prized stallions and choosing one. Oh, goodness.
All right, we have a few minutes here left, and I know Jennifer has some opinions on this too. We're going to do a movie review here. We actually all sat last night because Chrissy was kicked out of her house because it was completely flooded and everything smelled bad.
Don't remind me.
So she was hanging out with us last night, and we ordered some Applebee's, and we sat around and watched the Social Network movie. And that's, of course, the movie about the beginnings of
Mark Zuckerberg.
Mark Zuckerberg.
Zuckerberg.
Maybe you should have been named Zuckerberg. That might have fit.
Zuckerberg,
yeah.
I don't know. It's a weird one. There's so many weird last names in that movie. It was like, I couldn't even remember. One was like Hingledoffer or something. I was just like, what's going on?
Well, you know, he was a real jerk. Let's start there. You know, and he still apparently is quite a jerk, Mark Zuckerberg, who actually started Facebook. And the movie does, I thought it was, let's start here. Did you think it was a good movie?
Not my favorite.
No?
Really not.
Okay. Jennifer? Oh, we can't hear you, Jennifer. I think you're on mute.
Oh, sorry. I forgot to hit my button. it wasn't my favorite, but I expected to not like it and want to read a book. But it did keep my, the storyline did keep my attention. Yeah. The acting was very good.
Yeah, I thought the acting was excellent.
The acting was excellent. I think he's a much happier person than what they portrayed him as. He's
I hope
gotta
so.
Be.
Yeah,
gotta
be. They sure portrayed him as a total jerk.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, he would make, in the geek sense of the word, he would make me look like I'm a star football player. In a geeky sense,
he holds the power.
I looked pretty good compared to him.
I am personally so grateful for you, Mark Zuckerberg. You keep me so entertained every day. Thanks. Just throwing that out there at you, buddy.
But, you know, when you did get a little bit, and apparently from the podcasts I've listened to, I listened to all the geek technology ones and people that know him. And they said that did depict he is a lot like that. He's just, I don't know, what's the word to describe him?
Quirky.
Quirky. He's very quirky. And he has in his mind one thing. He really has a one-track mind on what he wants to get done, and he doesn't care what happens to anything or anybody in the way, which is why he ended up, well, we won't ruin it for him, but no spoilers here.
No spoilers.
But he also got the job done. I mean, he's so obsessed that he got the job done. Now, apparently there was a little partying along the way that helped him. But
just a smidge.
It's, But it was, it also makes you realize when we ended. By the way, I think Chrissy got a lot of good quotes out of there for ex-boyfriends. Yeah.
And yeah. I got a lot of monologue material because there's a lot of good script writing that was done throughout that movie. A lot of
the
good
screenplay was good, wasn't it? Yeah.
It was good. It was. Good job, Justin Timberlake. You know, he's never bad candy to look at. So.
So apparently
I don't even know what he said.
Good.
I don't even remember his script, but he was entertaining. So.
And from
the Horses in the Morning point of view, there was not a single scene reference. I don't think I even caught a picture in the background in any of the scenery of a horse in that movie.
No, and we watched the whole
thing. It was taking place at Harvard that there would be a horse in a picture in the background.
I think so.
You know?
A little polo team.
Yeah, there
would have
been
fun.
Something. No, it was all about the crew team, the rowers.
The crew.
Yes. They couldn't have been too hard to look at either. Weren't they your type, the crew guys?
I don't know.
The brothers.
It was a little corny. The only thing that made those scenes really intense, no offense to anyone who does crew, is the music. But they didn't show enough of crew actually going on. They would go like 50 feet and then they would cut.
I will have to say the antagonists in the show, the two brothers whose name we can't even say, something like that. They provided the comic relief for the movie. It needed some comic relief provided that. Yeah. So I think we had come up with the flakes. There are six
flakes
in the bale.
Yeah.
Six flakes in a bale. How many flakes, Jennifer?
You know, I'm going to give it a 3.5 flakes.
Chrissy?
I would say 4.
Yeah,
I'd say four.
I'm kind of with Chrissy. I'd give it a 4 flakes. I think it's worth seeing to see how something that has grown to the point it has with, you know, going on 600 million users, it's the most used piece of software ever in history. You know, you got to see how that developed and the wacky sort of guy who developed it.
And I think what makes people kind of steer away towards it a little bit is because we're used to putting movies into genres. So it's either a comedy or there's a romance underlying layer to it, or it's action. Well, this fell into none of that.
Yeah, that's
true. Right. Good point.
I mean,
it was sort of like a docudrama.
It was like a docudrama. There was no moment where it was like, oh, this is a comedy now, or oh, there's a romance and it ends up working out. It was nothing like that. It was just telling the story of something no one actually knew how it unfolded. And in the end, you kind of just go, oh, okay, so that's how it happened.
But if Mark's listening, I take it all back. And I think it was terrific. It's 6 flakes. And if you're looking to invest in a little radio network out here in Kentucky, I'd be more than happy to take your call.
And, Mark, if you friend me, I promise I'll friend you back.
And what did you discover last night when you went onto Facebook and Glenn said, oh, heck, see if he's on Facebook?
Oh, he has like almost 200,000 likes, and actually there's like a 5,000 like limit, so he has unlimited himself.
Yeah, everybody else
crowd.
Is limited to 5,000.
Everyone else is limited, but he can have as many as he wants. But 200,000 out of 6 million people, really? Come on.
Actually, 600 million.
600 million? Excuse me, I forgot some of those zeros, my goodness. Yeah, but anyway, go ahead and like him, because that's why you get to use Facebook.
Now, it did make us realize when watching the movie, this is the one thing I think we took away from it, is, you know, on the show here in the morning in the last couple of weeks, we've talked about the things Facebook has changed that have really affected, what your experience is on Facebook. You're not seeing all your friends, and we told you how to correct that last week. Chrissy Joy didn't know about it.
I didn't know.
Her last night.
Ooh, Glenn the Geek. Look at him showing me up.
If after you see this movie, you'll realize why he doesn't care. He just does what he thinks is the right thing to do. I guarantee you there's no focus groups in this company. Mm-hmm. It's what he thinks is the right thing. It really gives you you really start to understand why they just make changes willy-nilly and don't tell anybody.
And he holds the power. So get all your contacts now, because there might be a premonition date that he's holding, and he's just going to say goodbye. So just saying, if you have a huge social life now, have a backup.
Chrissy Joy said after seeing the movie, she went, I think he has an off button, and one of these days he's just going to shut it down. He's just going to turn it off, and he's just going to laugh at everybody.
Exactly. So I'm going to send a message out to all my friends soon. Hit me up with your numbers.
You know, that is a good point, though. You can't leave everything, and that goes with photo sites like Flickr and all of those. you can't put your only copy of whatever it is mm-hmm. on those sites, because they can. There have been photo sites that have gone away, mm-hmm. and you're out your photos. You just don't have them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So always back up everything. Make sure you have it local. The cloud's a great thing, but make sure you have your photos and things backed up as well, because these sites could go away in a minute, and you're not going to have them anymore.
You're going to put that on Horse Tip Daily, right?
That's a good idea, actually.
Yeah.
I should do that on Horse Tip Daily. I really should.
That's a good point.
So that was our...
Then
we're
stuck with Twitter.
That's right. Then we'd be stuck with Twitter, which, of course, you can follow us at. Well, Chrissy Joy, this has been a pleasure. So much
Aww.
Fun actually sitting beside a co-host and chatting. And what is? How can people find out more about you and find out what you do?
Okay, well, I love to ride horses. I'm an actress, so please keep in touch. My social life is so totally guilty to Twitter and Facebook. You can find me just searching Chrissy Joy on Facebook. Right now I'm with a beautiful pink flower, and which will change probably this afternoon.
Yeah.
But anyway, find me on
her
Facebook.
Picture about 12 times a day.
I do. It's fun. Anyway, and follow me on Twitter, which is C Joy, J-O-Y, and the letter M as in Mary. So it's C Joy M. You can follow me all day long, and I'll be very random, I promise.
She tweets a lot.
I'm super random.
And you have a website they should check out too.
Go to ChrissyJoy.com. I know this is so funny. Go to www.Chrissy, that's C-H-R-I-S-S-Y, joy.com, and you can learn more about what I do, from equine stunt riding and all my acting and goofy little get-ups I get myself into, so it's fun.
All right, so that's Chrissy Joy's information. Of course, you can follow all the shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com, including all of Chris's shows that we talked about earlier in the day. And we'll be reminding you of the live shows coming up here in the morning show as well, so you can hear live coverage from Red Hills, where she gets all the famous eventers on there live after their runs each day. So it'll be kind of fun. And you can also, as we mentioned, follow us on Facebook at Horses in the Morning. And you can follow us on Twitter at Horse Radio. And, of course, if you missed a live show, you can still listen to the recorded version on our website or any of our affiliate websites or iTunes. Just search for Horses in the Morning on iTunes. Have them downloaded. I know that's how a lot of our listeners actually listen to the show, and you'll never miss an episode. And I know Chrissy Joy's parents, I'm going to give them a shout-out up
Yay.
There in New Jersey. I know they both work, but they're going to be listening to the show later in the day, so I'm going to say hi to them. And I just want to assure them we're taking good care of their daughter while she's flooded out of her house.
You know what? My parents really do appreciate it. I don't know where I would be, literally in my car right now, if it wasn't for you, Glenn. So everyone out there listening, Glenn is...
Oh, and there's nothing worse than a homeless...
Glenn and Jen.
Supermodel actor.
Oh,
living
no.
in car.
Glenn and Jen have been angels and truly a blessing. Thank you so
Although
much.
You'd probably make more money than the couple of homeless guys that are out here at the end of our street raising money at the end of the street
Especially,
every day.
Yeah, I guess
You
so.
Might have a better chance. But
Don't give me ideas.
All right, we'll be back again tomorrow. Helena B. will be joining me tomorrow morning here on Horses in the Morning, and helping me get through another day without Jamie. But you know what? It's been fun. It's fun to have other people join on occasion, and I will take a couple days off at some point to relieve all of you of me.
Going and, skiing?
Yeah, I don't know about skiing. I would be breaking things if I was going skiing. I don't think Jennifer would even let me ski at this point. Maybe a little tobogganing would be good.
Okay.
All right, everybody. Say goodbye, Chrissy Joy.
Goodbye. Have a great day, everyone.